World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I guess that means I'm up, doesn't it? I guess that means I'm up. Man, I've got a lot going on. And I'm not complaining. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on, isn't it? And it could it be, I don't know. Could it be, you know me, I'm not really, we're going to do communion. Get communion. We're going to do communion today. Y'all know this about me. I'm not really an end times guy. I mean, I'm aware of the end times and all that stuff. But it does seem to me that the farther we get away from the center, anybody besides me, when you were a young kid, get on the merry-go-round, and you had your friend sit on the edge of the merry-go-round, and you jumped out off the merry-go-round, and you grabbed a hold of the bar, and you ran around in circles fast as you could so you could get that merry-go-round going. Anybody do that besides me? And some of your friends fly off and hit their head, and you got to call the emergency squad. I did that. We used to do that, right?
Yeah,
that was fun. That's fun. That's where we are. That's the vortex that we're in, I think, right now. I think the merry-go-round is spinning so fast that even those who are trying to orchestrate the control of it, I think a lot of it's spinning out of control. I really do. And remember, the Bible says, Abahu and Adahu, Steve Quayle taught me that, chaos, from chaos to chaos again. I kind of think that's where we are. And the conniving. See, one of the things that Trump's done, I'll get you, Joe, hang on. One of the things that Trump has done, love him or not love him, hate him or hate him, I've never seen anything. He is the most polarizing person in my lifetime. Can anybody think of anybody more polarizing than him? Because you have about 30% of the people who think he is the second coming. And you have about 30% of the people who hate him they call it Trump derangement syndrome, do they not? Huh? I mean, they are so far, they don't care what he does. They hate him so bad. That's about 30 to 30, I'm guessing. And so the battle is going on in that middle 40%. That's really where it is. And it's happening because I think, I can feel it coming in the air tonight, oh Lord. You mind? Huh? There's something going on, isn't there? Come on now, there's something going on. You look around, there's something crazy going on. Normal people. We have normal people who think that a man can be a woman. I spoke to the school kids yesterday. I get a chance to talk to you about that. Normal people think a man can be a woman. Normal people. I mean, it's like unbelievable, isn't it? But see, is this thing spinning? Is this spinning like we can't think? Just think about it. Think about all the things. I wrote this down on my notes here today. By the way, new high in gold. Gold to the moon. Sorry, gold to the moon. Oh my goodness. I got to think about this. All those things that for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, ever since JFK, we've been called conspiracy theories. You know, most of them are coming true, aren't they? Most of them are coming true. Really, if we were to go down and run down the list, most of them are coming true. And I think one of the things that we're really, really fighting against is who controls the information. Not only who controls the information, who when we find out who's controlling the information, then it will lead us to a very, very dark place that most of us don't really want to go. Most churches, particularly don't want to go. I got some stuff today I'm going to show. If you get a chance, get back to it, man. I'm going to say this, then we'll circle about because I feel like I'm all over the place already, all over the place. I'm going to tell you, are you looking at me? I spoke yesterday at Thomas Worthington High School. I want to share a little bit of that if I get a chance. Are you looking at me? I'm going to tell you this. That generation has nothing in common with us. I'm going to say it again because you don't get it. That generation of seniors at Thomas Worthington High School have nothing in common with us. I'm just telling you. By the way, it's not their fault. It's not that they don't want to. It's not that they don't care. They share none of our universal values. I took them through the Ten Commandments, just the last six. Shall not lie, shall not steal. I took them through those. Say, I mean, can we agree on this? Can we just agree on this? Pretty amazing. Probably 110 students, maybe I spoke to yesterday. Not one knew the Ten Commandments. Not one knew the Ten Commandments. I'm getting ahead of myself here. We got to do, don't go away. Don't go away. Hey, friends, as we take this communion, I want you all, I wrote some notes. Remember Gary Pierce. Let's pray for Gary. Have him in your prayers here, Gary, who, had a hip replacement. Oh, my God, stuff. He's a tough buzzard, though, man. He's gonna bounce back. Mark Mattingly still. I haven't spoken to Mark in a couple days. Mark needs encouragement. My buddy Chris Clegg out in the St. Louis. There's just a lot of people, man. A lot of people that are hurting. Can I say this without making anybody mad? Have you ever seen more broke families than you see right now? Some of you, I'm talking to you. How did this happen? The family structure destroyed. Parents not talking to children. Children not talking to parents. Children not talking to cousins. Cousins not talking to nieces. It's I see it everywhere I look. And why is this? Yeah, Paul, it's by design. Because the enemy has snuck in unawares. And we don't get it. And we find God-fearing Christian people remaining silent in the face of doctrines of demons being taught to the ones that we love. How did this happen to us? How did we get in this place? Something else I know, too, that we take prayer serious and communion serious. A lot of you having financial problems. Hey, just what it is. System is designed to do that to us. A lot of you having financial problems, and I understand it. And I wish there's some way. I wish it, somehow, if I could get $1 billion, I'd try to get all of you out of debt. I would. I don't do it. We've done it to ourselves. They've trained us to do it. Those kids. I took hats. Hang on, I know I'm all over the place. So I go in there yesterday, and those kids want to buy hats. They want to buy hats. I take hats with me. They want to buy hats. Spencer, what do you think they say? What do you think they ask me if I want to buy hats? Anybody know what they ask me? Huh?
No money.
No, they don't ask that. I don't say that.
No.
What do they say? Do you have Zelle? Do you have this? What? Do you have a wallet? You got a $20 bill in your wallet? What do you mean, do I have Zelle? It's a whole different, there's a whole transformation that has taken place right under our eyes, and we don't even know. Hey, Spencer, do I have Zelle? I mean, what the hell does that even mean? You have Zelle? What does that mean? Zelle? Huh? I have Zelle? This is really good. I know I'm all over the place. Stay with me. So a bunch of guys came up, they wanted to buy hats when I'm done. And, I mean, they just look at me. I said, you got $20? So, oh, you want me to give you a hat? Want me to give you one? So how am I going to feed my family if I give you a hat? And then they went on all. They said, listen, I swear I will. I said, okay, listen. So about three of them, I think it was. I said, well, I'm going to give you a hat. I'm going to find out if you're a man of your word. By the way, a Christian value, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. I'm going to give you this hat. I'm going to see whether you're a man of your word or not. And I got home, and two of them had gone online and paid me. Still waiting on the third guy. Still waiting on the third guy, right? But we don't have common values. If we don't share common values, so I'm doubling back. I'm doubling back. Going to take communion here. By the way, again, sorry, hang on. The annual. I did some checking yesterday. Yes, the annual is Father's Day weekend, but you'll be home before. I'm not going to change it. If you can't come because of Father's Day, you'll be able to leave Sunday morning to go home if you want to. You can still do Father's Day with your family at home. I can't change it. We're going to do it Father's Day weekend. In fact, I'm still working on having you. Some of you can come in Thursday and might make it a nice weekend. We have a beautiful place. You can hang out and fellowship. But we're not changing it, okay? We would love for you to come. And you want to bring somebody with you. Make it a little vacation. You will be around the greatest people. It'll be a therapy session, the good people that you'll be around. And that's June 14, that weekend, June 14, Father's Day weekend. I hear somebody trying to come in. No? All right. Okay, now look. Joe tells us this every time we take communion. Thank you, Mel. Liberty Action Network calendar. We'll get it up there in a second. This is also... I heard that, Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's where I'm going tonight. Tomorrow, actually. To Minnesota. I'm going to go to Minnesota. And if you're up in the Minnesota area, I'd love for you to be able to come. It's 4 to 7, men game dinner. I don't even know what a game dinner is. I'm going to come. I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm excited to go. Amen. Joe tells us every week that this is the meal that heals. Meal that heals. Bible says you have not because you ask not. Or you ask amiss. What does it mean to ask amiss? What does that mean? Somebody help me out here. You have not because you ask not. Or you ask amiss. What does it mean to ask amiss?
To ask in doubt. To ask in doubt or asking in a disbelief position.
Okay. That would be one. Yes.
Contrary, what else? Something contrary to the will of God.
Something contrary to the will of God or something that is fleshly in nature. You have not, could you ask, and are you asking this? It could be possible. Lord, give me $1 million. Why wouldn't he give me $1 million? The paper. It's paper. Nobody cares about this. Why wouldn't he give me $1 million? Well, maybe my heart's not right. And he knows that if I take that $1 million, he gives me that $1 million, it's going to ruin me. We don't know, do we? Have not, because you ask not, or you ask amiss. So everything in prayer, everything we do, it's always about the heart. And the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Don't ask me how that works. I tried to explain to the kids yesterday the Holy Spirit, the three parts of man. Their heads are just spinning. But you know what? Again, I know I'm all over the place. Stay with me. When the class ended, they wouldn't leave. They wouldn't leave. And finally, the teacher said something to the effect, look, I can't write all of your passes. I can't. You guys have got to go. 20 minutes. 20 minutes after the class was over, they wouldn't leave. You know why that is? That's the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Some of them are so hungry for truth. We give them religion. Do this, don't do that, follow the rules. Give money. We give them rules, rules, rules. And there they are with their immortal soul at risk, and they ain't got the first idea. I love this line. I'm getting my communion ready here, Joe. Who's the most influential person in the history of Western civilization? Some kid said, LeBron James. I'm not making it up. And when I said Jesus Christ, I said, what year is it? What year is it? So they said, well, it's 2025. I said, yeah. 2025 from what? 2025 from what? So you mean to tell me that you go to history class and don't even talk about Jesus Christ? How can you have a history class without Jesus Christ? Pilgrims? Don't tell you why the pilgrims came here? I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place. Have not because you ask not. You ask amiss. And I believe, as Joe prays every Friday, that this is the meal that heals. So I'm going to set my clock here. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to give you 1 minute of silence. Silence, silence, all of us. And I want you, in your spirit man, to confess to the Lord. First of all, boy, Lord, I've been doing this. I've been, God, I'm sorry. Sorry. Lord, I've been praying and doubting at the same time. And the Bible tells me, Lord, that the double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. Let him not expect anything from God. Lord, I've been double-minded. Sometimes I don't even know if you're real. I think you are. I think your promises are true. I think you're a man of your word. And although I don't deserve it, Lord, heal my brother, heal my whoever it would be, heal my husband, heal my heart. Lord, I'm so bitter and so angry sometimes. Heal me, Lord Jesus. Heal our land. Heal my relationship with my wife. Heal my relationship with my children. Heal my relationship with my husband, my wife. Lord, the word says that somebody evil has crept in unaware. Expose them to me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. Lord, I can't expect others to change when I'm such a mess. Help me to hear you better. Help me to understand what I hear. Give me the courage to act upon what you show me. Because you said in your word that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Lord, oh, I confess to you that sometimes I am of little faith. Increase my faith. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you, Coach. You know, one of the main reasons why we have this division in our nation now and in the world is the media, which has, since you and I were kids, always been leaning left, but they used to be required to tell both sides of the story.
Well, they used to be honest.
Yeah, well, but at some level they had an honesty, not in their hearts, but at some level they had it. And they were required by law to show both sides of the coin. Yep. Not anymore, not for a long time. And then the media ownership laws changed under Clinton, so you could really basically own the whole media in a market. You could own,
yep,
you know, all, you could own the print, the radio, and the television, and they had no idea that the online media was coming.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's one of the things that is still not woken up and changed, but I think it's about to.
Well, Joe, because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and another voice they will not hear. So evidently, at some point, there's going to become some system where we're going to be able to clearly hear God's voice. We have to cut through this morass, don't we? Because there are a lot of voices out there. A lot of voices. And I don't know about you. I see people waking up every day. Go ahead.
But you can hear God when you really listen.
Mm-hmm.
When you really listen. It takes some Holy Spirit discernment. But the still small voice is in us all. But I think it's going to be more profound.
Amen. Hey, we're on that merry-go-round, man, and we are spinning. Baby, we're spinning right now for sure. We're far away from the central axis, the God that created it all. We're far away from Him.
Okay. This morning's reading is from Romans 6, 1 to 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Time out, Joe. That must mean we don't have to continue in sin. Would that be fair to say?
Yep, I think we must have an option.
Yeah, okay.
Power to decide, to choose. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Wow.
Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?
Boom, don't be reading that. Don't you dare be reading that, dude. Huh? I want to be baptized into his blessings. I don't want his death stuff. Anyway,
We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
I want to confess that happened to me. That happened to me. I was baptized unto his death, and I was born again, and my life has never been the same. Go ahead, Joe.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Mm.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him.
Amen.
For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God.
Wow.
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside me. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And it also shows you what happens when you're baptized.
Hmm.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with gratitude in our hearts. We come to you having been doubly reminded that this is and can be the meal that heals. So we ask that our hearts that were opened by Coach's words a minute or two ago, that we in our minds and hearts and spirits now put on the altar that which needs healing, Lord. could be in our body, our spirits, our family, our souls. But all of us here have things in our lives that need you to heal them, to heal us, to help us be what you created us to be, the person you created us to be a small step or a huge step more in that direction, more in line with who you made us to be, Lord. Not just in our walk, but also this, the way that we physically walk. You made us to be something a lot different than we are and now and have been. And we pray that you give us the courage and the faith to ask continually for your working on our bodies, our souls, our lives, our families, to help us walk that walk you want us to walk, to say what you would like us to say, to remember that we are your ambassador and not let our tempers and attitudes and fears get in the way. Let us remember that we have the most authority when we speak, that life and death are in our tongues, and that we have so much authority over ourselves, our spouses, our children, our families, our finances, our health. It's all affected by our tongue. So let us say and let us prophesy health, blessing, love, support for each other, moving forward, transparency in things that should be and can be transparent so that people can see and hear what is there and not be told or receiving lies. All these areas, Lord, help us to put on our glasses that see life the way you want us to see it, not the way we have been. So let us put on our Jesus glasses, Lord. Let us look through these glasses and see the world as you see it. And I was reminded yesterday, Lord, that state elections can be extremely important in our nation. And then sometimes in some states, they elect Supreme Court justices. Not here. Yeah, that's one thing we don't do here in California. But Wisconsin has one of these seats up for election, Lord. And you know that there's a conservative judge who's raised his hand and wants to serve the people, and his name is Brad Schimmel, and we ask that people in that election just don't tick a box. They actually research and find out that actually that this is the man. If they want the such a decision by the people to have a man in the office who will support the Constitution and support the movement happening in Washington, that it needs to be Brad Schimmel and not the woman running on the other side, who unfortunately has opposite goals. And that in our current configuration in the House, this one election could be decisive. So we ask that we also keep our eyes open and do our diligence. And in all our state and local elections, we actually do some research and know what we're ticking the box for, Lord. Because we have been taught a lesson that when we went off and lived our lives and expected the people in public office to do things as it would be done as we would have done it, it actually wasn't. It was going the opposite. And we're so grateful that you woke us up in time And we are really grateful, Lord, that we worship the one true God who gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him shall not perish, but may have worship and have everlasting life. And we on this call, we believe in him, and we are grateful. And we ask you that you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so many years ago. And as Coach pointed out, help us to remember that everything in the West changed because of his having been born, lived, and died, and raised again on this little rock, blue rock in the heavens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe. I've been prompted to say this. I've had here at Coach Dave Live, we try to help as many people as we can. I've had more requests in the last week of people who need some financial help. And if all of you guys that are watching right now, if you just just donate $10, just $10, and it would really help us relieve some other people. Really would. So they're it's your friends, it's your brothers, it's your sisters, right? So, well, Coach, my finances are tight too. I get it. Hey, so look, here's one of the things, man, it's been a half hour, but it's been a good half hour. I can't get away from, I saw yesterday the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing. You say, "Well, Coach, what was it? Tell us." I will. I learned something yesterday. I learned how quickly you can lose it from one generation to another. I haven't taught school in, when did I quit, Michelle? 2000, 1999, 2000. That's 24 years ago. By the way, how long is a generation? Spencer, wake up. I'm just kidding you. How long is a generation? I want you to think. Stop with all the Bible stuff. Ask yourself this. How long is a generation? How long does it take in your family from you and your wife getting married until your children are having children? That would be another generation. How long is it? How long is a generation?
25 years.
30. If a woman isn't having children by 30, aren't her parents saying, "Isn't she going to have any children? Isn't she going to have any children?" Because why? A generation is, I would think, in my family, our daughter was having, how old was Abby when she had a baby? 23, 24, 25. How long? How long? And so I haven't taught school, by the way. I quit teaching school before any of those kids yesterday were even born. That's how long I've been out of education. And what I saw yesterday was they have no understanding of the generation before. They don't get it. If I tried to take them back and tried to explain life before cell phones, before the computer,
try to tell them that you had one phone in the house and it dialed, and sometimes you had a party line and somebody down the road got on the same phone. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Y'all, they have no understanding of that. A guy who spent his whole life teaching was in a foreign land yesterday again. In one generation. One generation. So I did some checking today. Hey, Spencer, just so these people won't think I'm lying, I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. How many generations since Jesus Christ? Does it tell? There it is. Number of generations since Jesus. Don't you love the internet? What would my dad think if, and my mom? I tried to explain to the internet to him. The number of generations since Jesus Christ can vary based on the average length of a generation. If we assume an average generation of length of 25 years, there you go, 25 years. There would be approximately 80 generations between Jesus Christ and today. Do you understand this? Do you understand Psalm 78? Pull up Psalm 78, Spence, real quick. Psalm 78. Psalms, generations, Psalm 78. I open mouth, parable, water, deep sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Are we doing that? Have we done that? Have we shown from one generation to another the testimony of Jacob, point of law in Israel, command our fathers that they teach to the children, generation to come might know them, even the children. Come on, keep up, Spencer, that the generation to come, which should be born, they would arise, they'd teach the same thing to their kids, and that they wouldn't be, they'd have their hope set in God, and they wouldn't forget his works, but keep his commandments. And it wouldn't be like their daddies. They wouldn't be a stubborn and a rebellious generation. Why? No. Because why? They had been taught from the time they were a child. Tag team handoff, generation to generation to generation to generation. How many generations did it say, Spencer, since Jesus? How many? How many generations since you were been born? I knew my grandpa. I knew my great-grandpa. I knew my grandpa. I knew my dad. I know me. And I have children. And I've been alive for six generations. At least six. I said, Coach, what are you talking about? I'm telling you this. The generation in schools right now don't know anything that you know. We might think it, they don't. In fact, we pay school teachers to come in and teach them things that aren't even true. You know what the sad thing is? The children in school learn from their parents. Psalm 78, we just read it. So I began to think really, really hard, really, really hard, that the enemy is really, really pretty good. I'm going to get you in here in a second. Really, really pretty good. I'm going to tell you this. A generation to come. Generation in schools right now. I told them I have a picture of LeBron James on my phone. I do. Picture me and LeBron. They all wanted to see my picture of LeBron. You know, I said to them, I got a better one than that. I got a picture of Jimmy Brown, me and Jimmy Brown. They said, who? Who? Jimmy Brown, number 32, the Cleveland Browns. Come on! Because see, they all live in the present. Programmed in the present. And Christianity is a tag team handoff to the next generation. What did we just see? 80 generations between Jesus Christ and today. Can somebody tell me how much history has been manipulated?
Amen.
Folks, listen to me. My grandchildren's generation, who I was speaking to yesterday, basically, they're older, but it's my grandchildren's generation, knew almost nothing
about Christianity. That's dangerous, isn't it? And how's it happened? One generation at a time. And the fathers are supposed to teach it to their children, who would teach it to their children, and it would go over through 80 generations. It would be carried down from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. And we've dropped the ball. How much time? I got a couple things I want to show you, then I'm going to open it up, okay? The genealogy of Jesus. Okay, hey, folks, look, I'm not trying to make anybody mad. Okay, Michelle, be my witness, because I just Googled, Spencer, Google this. Did Jesus have brothers? Depends which website you go to. Question whether Jesus had brothers is a topic of debate among different Christian denominations. Oh, different Christian denominations, so. Why? Because it's 80 generations. According to the Gospels, Jesus had brothers named James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Huh? Well, I thought she was ever virgin. The Catholic Church and some Eastern Orthodox traditions maintain that Mary was a perpetual virgin and that these references to Jesus' brothers and sisters are just cousins. They're just cousins. Josie! Did you ever hear Josie? You know who Josie was? I did a little Google search this morning because Michelle was reading something to me and she brought up Josie. You know Josie? Who's Josie? Wow. He was the grandson of Joseph. Huh? Yeah. They just, instead of calling him Little Dave, they called him Josie. Look, hang on. Like, I don't know if it's true or not. I know this. 80 generations from the birth of Jesus Christ. Who knows what lies have been told to us? Somebody sound amen out there. Because somebody say, Coach, you're getting in some serious territory. No. Amen. I want to know the truth. Because the truth, if I know it, it's going to make me three. It's going to make me. Yeah. So we got a group of Christians that say Jesus, Mary was ever virgin. And then we got another. No. He had James and Joseph and Simon and Judah. He had all kinds of. By the way, I'm just asking, if Mary and Joseph got married, what was the first commandment to man? What was the first commandment to man? Can somebody tell me? The first commandment to man was?
Be fruitful and multiply.
So Mary and Joseph didn't follow that first commandment. Is that what we're to believe? I'm not getting into theology. I'm trying to show you that there is so much that's happened that we don't even understand. I want to confess to you right now. God, I only got 17 minutes. I've only been to one foreign country in my life, Canada. I've never been overseas. So when somebody talks to me about France and the Eiffel Tower, I just have to look at a picture at it. And so I've been to Canada. When somebody talks to me about the Auschwitz realm, somebody talks about visiting the Vatican, I got to look at pictures. What? Oh, Mexico. Yeah, I've been to Mexico. Yeah. I snuck some children over the border there one time, got some money for them. No, I didn't. So they give me a picture of the Vatican. I don't know. I've never been to the Vatican. They tell me that's the Vatican. I'm like, oh, that's the Vatican. All right. That's where most of us are. I could give you a picture right here. Hang on. I won't. I could give you a picture of somebody. Say, that's my son. You don't know. Say, Coach, what are you doing? I'm trying to tell you folks that much of what we have is not all of what we have. Let me show you two things, then we'll shut up. Huh? I love doing this stuff because it makes my faith deeper. It does. Pull up Tartaria, number four. You guys ever heard of Tartaria? You guys ever heard of it? Tartaria? Somebody says yes, so I know my microphone's working. Anybody ever heard of Tartaria?
Yes.
Tartaria evidently was some type of civilization. Remember now, not last week, not 2 years ago, not 1912, not 1846, but maybe 1,000 years ago, maybe 2,000 years ago. place called Tartaria. When's the last class you had on Tartaria and Tartarian architecture? Just sit here for a couple minutes. Play this.
Narrative about a country that has vanished. In recent years, there is a narrative about a country that has vanished from history's pages. A nation that was once well known across the world is now lost in the sands of time. Tartaria, Tartary, or Grand Tartaria has perplexed web academics digging through antique maps dating back to the 15th century. The Tartar Empire is a mystery to historians. The empire was first mentioned in the year 635 by...
How'd they build that? How'd they build that? How'd they build that? Go ahead.
Year 635 by a Byzantine historian, Procopius of Caesarea. He mentions that the emperor of the Tartars had been defeated by Chosroes Tormeu of Persia, and his son Kavad, Gungu, had been captured. He writes that the emperor's name was unknown, but he knew that he ruled over an empire with many tribes and provinces. He also knew that they were located in what we know as Eastern Europe, Western Siberia, and Central Asia today. What is now known as Tartary is not an easy place to get to from Constantinople, so it is unclear how Procopius got all this information about them, if he never visited these lands himself, or if he did, why he didn't mention. Fasten up and join us as we investigate the beginnings of the mighty Tartarian Empire, proof of a lost empire. Tartarian's existence is founded
on... We're not going to spend the rest. Put it in the chat. Some of you say, Coach, I've never heard anything like this ever. Of course not. Of course not. Who writes history? I took my grandkids to the graveyard, and there lays my great grandfather and my great grandfather. How do you explain that to a 10-year-old kid? And there lays my great-grandfather, Grandpa George, who died at age 96, born in 1812. How do I explain to my kids the world Grandpa George lived in? Well, I can't, because I didn't live in it. I remember my dad said they asked my Grandpa George one time, "Have you ever been out of Ohio?" They lived in Lancaster, which is just south, 30 miles south of Columbus. Grandpa George said, "Yo, yeah, I've been to Columbus a couple times. Columbus is the capital, it's 20 miles away." And it was like a journey across the world to go from Lancaster, Ohio to Columbus. He'd done it twice. So think of the vast world the Grandpa Georges in Italy and in Germany and in Russia and in Mexico, generations and generations and generations of information, we don't know. Say, Coach, what are you talking about here? I'm talking about this. They're right in the midst of where we are. You looking at me, folks? Right in the midst of where we are, they are changing history.
Amen.
We can't even get them to tell us the truth about JFK. And how long ago was that? They're hoping my generation dies off and then nobody will ever ask about JFK again. I was watching some videos a couple days ago. You want to get some laughs. You get watch some videos of the moon landing. It's like they did it in somebody's backyard. But it was the best technology they had back in 1968 or 70, whenever it was. And they convinced all of us that Neil Armstrong was actually walking on the moon. They were sending us live feeds from. And those of us who could cry BS, we're dying off. And so that moon landing will forever, through perpetuity, be a fable in history. Did it happen? I don't know. They can't do it again. I could name a lot of things. I can name a lot of things. See, if they continue to cover it up and delay and delay and delay and delay, then the people who lived it will be dead. And then there will only be those who talk about history, and they will change history to whatever they want it to be. Okay. Am I doing? I'm not asking for approval. Am I making it clear what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Okay. So if they can make students today convinced that a man can be a woman in one generation, it'll change all of history. And if the devil could train an entire generation that a baby isn't a human being, where do we go, huh? So that's why I like to say here at Coach Dave Live, we are on a relentless pursuit of the truth. I ain't going to believe it. Those who say the Bible says that I believe it, that settles it. I'm not there. The Bible says some of it. But you better understand this. They're changing history right in front of you, and you don't even recognize it. Because your children will be the next generation's teachers. And odds are pretty good your children don't believe what your parents believed. That, you guys think you're with me? That's what's going on. Why? So that's how the devil operates, man. He's after the truth. Change the truth. All white men were racist. No, they weren't. Not all white men had slaves. Not all white men approved of slavery, but it was the law of the land. But look, not all men are for killing babies. Most men probably aren't for killing babies, but they've been convinced it's the law of the land, so we've been taught to obey the law and shut up. Right? With me? That's where we are. And I'm telling you right now, we have a generation that doesn't believe what you believe. And they'll be the teachers. Come on in, Joe.
If you could stand time to spend 5 hours and watch that flat earth segment that you sent us, although it wasn't about flat earth, just saying.
Yeah.
But see what this country went through by not only by humans, but what we have done in the past is amazing.
What we're capable of doing, what we're capable of having done to another group of people, because I'm going to tell you this. I said this in the school yesterday. Can two walk together lest they agree? That if we can't even agree on the Ten Commandments, huh? Don't kill, don't lie, don't steal, don't covet. Don't commit adultery. If we can't agree on those things, right? The glue that held everything together, for how many years did that glue hold together? And the kids in the schools today don't even know them. In one generation. It's happened right in one generation. So those who fought to take the Ten Commandments off the wall knew what they were doing, didn't they? They knew what they were doing. And it's going on all around us today. We call it politics. No, it's a spiritual war. Kevin.
In 1968, Stanley Kubrick made a movie called 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, amen.
In 1999, the Red Hot Chili Peppers sang a song called Californication. In the lyrics of that song, it says, space is a new frontier, but it's filmed in a Hollywood basement. Wonder what they knew.
Wonder what they knew, huh?
Wonder what they knew. And then in 1999, also Stanley Kubrick, you know, three weeks before he died, admitted he did the moon stuff was faked.
Kevin, you're just a conspiracy theorist. Sorry, you're not welcome on this show anymore. We only talk about truth here. No conspiracy theories. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, I think Barack Obama, who paraphrased exactly what Woodrow Wilson said, and I put it in the chat, a nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do.
That's right.
We are trying to do a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about. And, Coach, that is what's happening today.
So, Dale, I took them back to the Mayflower Compact. Why did the pilgrims come here? They came here for religious liberty, and the battle is still the same today. America is formed as a Christian nation, and the devil is doing everything he can to destroy the Christianity in the nation. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. And all of those kids don't believe we're a Christian nation anymore. And the one guy says, if it's a Christian nation, is somebody allowed to be a Muslim? I said, yeah, dude, only in America. And only in America, because we believe the rights are God-given. And it's because Christians believe in the right of the individual conscience. You can be a Muslim here. I can tell you this, in most Muslim countries, I can't be a Christian. And I'll tell you something else, dude. You can be a homosexual here. I don't approve of it, but you can be a homosexual here. Try being one in Iran. That's Christianity, dude. That's Christianity, dude. They don't get it. Betty.
Good morning. Great show.
Thanks.
On the YouTube, Buzz Aldrin has a couple of videos where he says that we have never went to the moon. And they have also found all the Challenger victims in different states with different names except one.
So Betty, why won't they? If I was Buzz Aldrin, was still alive, I don't know. I would want an investigation to prove I did it. I want everybody to know I went to the moon. I want a congressional investigation. Why won't they do that?
I think he kind of fears his life, but he's taking a chance also talking about it now too.
Remember this. Truth will only survive for a generation. If it makes it that far, only a generation. We've been taught throughout history that the victors write the history. Vinny.
Well, you know that an eighth grader in 1912, they could tell you the difference between a democracy, a limited monarchy, an absolute monarchy, and a republic. Right. I guarantee any of these blue-haired freaks that you ask right now couldn't give you a single definition.
No. Hey, and if you try to teach it, you get it. It's a dumbing down, right? Dumbing down. Dan Bukowski is still alive. Come on in, Dan. Dan.
Probably accidental.
I lost him. Okay, Coach, wrap this up for me. I only got a minute and a half left. Wrap this up. Point number three real quick. I love this, man. I love this. Fritz Zimmerman. I got to get him on the show again. This is Newark, Ohio. Nephilim giants. Three edifices. Nephilim edifices in Newark, Ohio. A perfectly formed isosceles triangle. Huh? I wonder if they had the internet. How'd they do that? Or was this built by those who sit high and look low? Something's happening here. And what it is becoming more and more clear. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.